Oh, crap.
The moment when it hits the fan. I'm Meredith Hartley.
I'm Frank Hutchison.
And you're listening to Oh Crap, the Crisis Management Podcast, helping you survive your Oh Crap moments in business and in life. Brought to you by Me Squared. You can learn more at our website, www.me2-solutions.com. That's www.me2-solutions.com. Okay, that's a doozy. So the question is, what do I mean by saying that talking too much with manufacturing terms or statistics is a barrier to innovation? Now, I don't want anyone thinking I'm ragging on statistics. I love statistics. I get warm fuzzies from control charts, and they are critical. Statistics is an inherent part of what we're discussing in quality. I mean, it's the base. It's how we evaluate things. It's how we quantify things, and it's necessary. I love statistics. My problem is when we speak the language of statistics and are not aware that not everyone else speaks that language, and we make understanding the language of statistics an unnecessary barrier to people coming in to the quality fold, joining the quality community. And I'll give you an example. A lot of my students come to me because they are confused about control charts. We use the Quality Council of Indiana's primer for our CQIA courses. And I mean, it's a great manual. It's why we use it. I used it 13 years ago when I passed the exam. But its chapter on control charts is a hot mess. Everyone I know who sits down to read it, unless you have taken advanced statistics, unless you are an engineer, unless you have worked with control charts before, that chapter makes no sense to anyone. Anyone! It is completely counterintuitive how it's explained, until you realize that the people who designed that chapter were fluent in statistics. Now, the first thing you see when you open that up is a control chart and the X bar R chart, which those of us who've been in quality forever, we know what that is. We know what that means. But if you are the document control person for a manufacturing company who's been asked to take this exam, you've never seen an X bar R chart. You don't. You probably haven't done statistics in 10 years since you took college algebra, so you don't know what X bar means inherently. You'd have to go look that up somewhere. Let me tell you, there is nothing in that manual that explicitly states what each one of these terms means. You're expected to simply know it because, well, obviously, that's a common statistical term. We don't need to explain that to anyone. So we can just draw people into the middle of control charts, lay out what all these different control charts are, and oh yeah, then there's that really basic stuff. At the very end of the chapter, it talks about, here is what a trend is. Things happen, and you point them. You put a point here, and then a point for the next one, and you measure them, and you look for patterns in what happens. That's at the end of the chapter. Now, when I teach this to people who are not statisticians or engineers or familiar with control charts, I flip the chapter. I teach them the end first. I teach them the idea that in manufacturing settings, if you've never been on a factory floor, if you've never dealt with these concepts before, what you do is you plot measurements or points or data as you go. And you have to organize that somehow. So then we talk about recognizing trends and behavior. And once they understand the idea of plotting information and recognizing behavior, then I introduce them to the different kinds of behavior you can measure, the ranges of measurements, the defects, the defectives, all these different things we measure, the percentage of a sample that has issues, what samples even are. We explain all of that, and then we move them into the different kinds of control charts. And we explain what each term means, what the behavior is, what information you can extrapolate from the chart. And after they have that solid foundation of basics, they can recognize the individual components of a control chart. And they understand the value. In fact, I had one student who has failed the exam a couple of times before she came to us. And when we sat down and we went over the control chart chapter, it was like you watched a light bulb go on. She was so excited. She said, I get it. Oh my gosh, this is amazing. You can see everything in one chart. Why didn't anyone explain this to me before? They kept talking about averages and everything, and they kept talking about the big concepts. Why didn't anyone just explain the different parts of the chart to me? And even if they had explained the parts of the chart, no one had explained to her the idea that when you're in manufacturing, when you're dealing with processes, you're measuring responses. That's what you're doing. You're measuring data, and then you're codifying that. You're analyzing it. You're making it and putting it together in a way that people can see a lot of information at the same time. No one had explained that to her. That's a failure of the quality industry, because those of us who are teaching the curriculum are naturally those who have become fluent in that language. And so we teach it, we make assumptions that other people understand the same words and terms that we understand easily, and they don't. And that's why this woman wasted two exams. There's no reason for her to have failed the exam two times. She understood control charts in less than 20 minutes when I explained it to her, and she's retained that knowledge. The only reason she thought she couldn't do quality, she thought she might lose her job because she couldn't get the certification, was because we were explaining it in a really craptacular way. And that's on us. That is our failure to communicate. It is not her failure to understand. It is our failure to recognize our own biases, to recognize the limitations of the language that we use, and to not be good teachers. So that's what I mean when I say that we have these biases we aren't even aware of. And that's just one example. That's actually a pretty extreme example. It occurs every time we have a exam question or a practice exam, or we teach a concept in the book and we use an example from software or statistics or engineering to teach that. Because when we only use examples from those industries, then what we're sending people as a message, the message we're giving people is that quality requires fluency in those industries. If you don't understand that industry or that context or that field, then you will not be able to understand quality, or you will have to work twice as hard. And for busy professionals in the modern age, I mean, my students, they don't have time for boot camps, most of them. They are coming to me in the evenings, in the weekends. They are juggling kids and life and everything else, and they don't have time for this. And if a certification isn't easily attainable with a reasonable amount of effort, I'm not saying that it has to be a breeze, but they should be able to put in honest work and learn the material. And if we are not producing a curriculum that allows them to do that, we're telling them we don't want them. The message we're sending with our curriculum is that if you do not naturally understand statistics, if you can't figure this crap out on your own, if you didn't do well, if you don't remember it, if you don't speak our language, then you don't deserve to be in quality. Unless you conform to us, you have to be like us, you have to speak our language in order to do quality. And that's also the message we're sending. Whenever I hear this all the time, when a new industry tries to apply quality, when someone tries to apply quality to education, when someone tries to apply quality to the arts, to healthcare, there's this pushback, because we're saying, hey, here's this great system, and we're going to make you change what you're doing to conform to our system, to use these tools that have been so successful in our industry. Heck, they've been successful in manufacturing. They've been successful in the IT industry and other places. So why wouldn't they be successful there too? And if you aren't successful with these tools, you're doing them wrong. If we get pushback from people, you're doing it wrong. And yes, there are some valid cases where when someone pushes back, you have to say, look, you're going to jump in on the system or you're going to leave. But what I'm saying is every time someone struggles with the system, it doesn't mean that they aren't doing enough. If we are presenting the system or using tools that do not actually fit their industry well. Hi, everyone. It's Meredith. Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed the show, you can get more crisis management and prevention tips and strategies for free at our website, www.me2-solutions.com. That's www.me2-solutions.com. We're also on Facebook and Twitter. Just search for ME2 space solutions and you should find our profile. You can also find me on Twitter under my handle, The Quality Girl. Thanks for listening.
Copyright
2014
by Hutchison Solutions LLC. All rights reserved. But now seriously, folks, no part of this podcast may be reproduced in whole or part without our permission. But we'll be happy to give it to you. Just fire us an email, which you can find on our website. Thank you.